it's recording. Cool.
Yay.
Wow, Skype actually did something useful for once. I'm going to cut that part out.
Nice.
A little banners. Okay, so I guess welcome to Scandalous. This is a history podcast. I'm your anonymous host. I go by M, and today I have with me as my guest comedian Jaleesa Johnson. You're on the podcast. Hi.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Do you want to tell everyone who you are?
Sure. Yeah, I assume you were just going to say I'm a part of the podcast, Mola
yes.
She Wrote. Yeah. I have another little side piece project called The Racial Maddow Show, but that's a whole different thing. Yeah, mostly Mola She Wrote is my jam.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you had that other thing going now, too.
Oh, yeah.
Such a great name.
Thank you.
Amazing. Okay. So I guess I'm just going to give a bit of an introduction about what this podcast is, since it's the first episode. I am a huge history nerd. I'm more of an armchair historian. I'm not, you know, officially educated in a lot of it, but I've just, you know, read and self-educated myself a lot. And I wanted to make a history podcast, and forever I couldn't settle like on a topic, basically, because I'm interested in so many things. And then I realized that my favorite things that I'm the most interested in are always like the scandals and like the really like like dramatic, like crazy things in history. So I thought, you know, I researched and they didn't have any podcasts similar to that. So I was like, let's do this.
Very nice.
Yeah. And then you guys had your episode where you were talking about on Mueller, She Wrote about how it would be fun to have a podcast of you getting stoned talking about history. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute, I had this idea.
Yes, it's a great idea. I'm so glad you're doing it.
So yeah, this should be fun. And so every episode I'm going to have a different guest, hopefully lots of comedians because I want it to be funny. And I'm going to tell you some scandalous history. And every episode is going to have a different theme. Yours is female sexuality.
Oh, yeah.
Especially bisexuality and lesbianism in history.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I have to ask, have you seen or heard of the movie The Favorite?
Oh, no. I mean, okay, The Favorite, I have heard about it, but I didn't see it. Isn't it like something about a woman from like some past time who, I'm guessing she might have been gay now that you mention it, but I didn't even know that.
Spoiler. Oh, yeah. So if anyone hasn't seen the movie yet, this is going to be quite a spoilery episode for that. So
nice.
If you were in a rush to go see that one and don't want me to spoil this. Real.
Oh, yeah. They were like, man, I was going to watch that tomorrow. Yeah, no, I think we're fine.
Okay, well, you were right. It was about a old-timey lady. It was about the Queen of England, actually. And her favorite courtier, Sarah Churchill. And the movie was about it's a very dramatized depiction of their relationship, which was, as you will see, quite complicated and quasi possibly lesbianish.
Okay, I like it.
Yep. And this is what the movie was about. They imply that she was a lot more sexually active with each other than they probably were, but we'll see. We'll see in this story. Okay, so we are going to be talking mostly about Miss Sarah Churchill, the first Duchess of Marlborough.
Mm.
Yeah, no. She wasn't into cigarettes or anything. This is over in England.
No relation. Yeah.
So even though she was Queen Anne's favorite, I'm going to focus on her because she was really the one that was the scandalous one in this situation. I mean, it was a scandalous situation in general, but she was the one that really was the crazy fun one to talk about.
Okay. I'm excited.
Awesome. Okay, so I'll tell you a little bit about who she was. She was the founder of the Spencer Churchill dynasty that produced both Winston Churchill, who was the prime minister. I'm not sure if they had that back then. He was that's so terrible. I know. He was basically the leader of Great Britain during World War II, and he got them through that. And she's also an ancestor of Lady Di, Lady
Wow,
Diana. She
that's
was a spouse.
incredible.
So this lady who was the queen's favorite is an ancestor of Diana. So what do you think about that? It's kind of,
They're a power couple, man. I like that. That's what's up.
So Sarah grew up being part of the kind of minor aristocracy. She was, vaguely rich, but not super part of the royalty or anything. But her family was in royal service, which meant that she was like kind of just like a, they called them like ladies in waiting and stuff like that. And they would basically just be like a friend slash quote servant. So basically
Okay.
just like a squad
The
that's going to be
help.
hanging.
Okay.
But it's also aristocratic help. So it's basically like if you're famous today and you got your crew that like,
Oh, the entourage, so to
yes,
speak.
that's what I'm
Yeah.
looking for. It's like her
Straight up.
entourage.
Okay.
So she was an entourage in the royal family, and Anne at this point was just a princess. She was like a niece or something like that. And there was a bunch of stuff that happened politically in that era where there were like a bunch of different kings and there were revolutions. And so there was a bunch of stuff happening where Anne originally wasn't supposed to be queen, but through all of these different things that happened, she ends up becoming queen later in her life. But in her younger years, what we're going to start with, she was just a princess. And she met Sarah just on one of their royal retreats. And they became friends very quickly because they were kind of stuck together out in the country in this castle, and there weren't many other young people around, so they became friends very quickly. And by, let's see, 1683. Okay, so it would help if I told you when she was born. Born in the 1660s. So by the time they are, I would say young women, maybe 19, something like that, Sarah becomes Anne's Lady of the Bedchamber. So she's kind of moving up, and because she's already Anne's favorite, Anne wants to have her as her like personal servant instead of just sometimes. So,
Okay.
but it turns out that Anne wasn't actually, I mean, sorry, Sarah wasn't actually Anne's first favorite.
Oh,
So
shit.
before Sarah came to be her Lady of the Bedchamber, Sarah had a bunch of memoirs that she had written and letters and things that basically it's the reason we know all of this. So a lot of this is from her retelling,
Okay.
but we have a lot of it in her words, which is really funny. So what she said was that King Charles used to say that no man ever loved his mistress as his niece Anne did Miss Cornwallis, which
Oh,
was her servant.
damn, he sounds salty.
So her name was Frances Apsley. She was the daughter of the Duke of York's treasurer. And they removed her because I guess the relationship became a little too close and too impassioned.
Yeah.
Her and I guess Sarah was the one to replace her, so I
It
guess
just
that
keeps
didn't,
happening.
yeah, it
Yeah.
didn't really work out.
She's like, I
So,
like women. It doesn't matter what woman you bring around. I like women. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
you'd think after the first favorite, they'd be like, maybe we should give her a guy, but that's just not really how it worked back then.
No.
So, and it's strange because Mary, Anne's sister, who became queen before Anne did, they're both princesses still at this point. She also really liked this Frances girl, and they would both write her letters. And in the letters, Mary would call Frances her husband.
Oh.
And this led generations of historians to think that she was writing to her actual husband, William of Orange.
Damn.
But okay, if you have that thing I sent you with the
I
quote,
do.
yeah, the first quote is something that she wrote to this lady, if you want to read that.
Yes, it's so much cooler knowing that it's all in code now. Okay, she said, I have sat up this night to tell my dear, 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 dearest, dear husband that I am more and more in love with you every time I see you, and love you so well that I cannot express it no way but by saying I am your louse in bosom and would be very glad to be always so near you. Is that correct? Did I nail that
Yeah.
old time? Okay,
I'm
that
not
was.
sure what a louse in your bosom is, to be
I
quite
can
honest.
imagine. Yeah, yeah.
She
I know
wants
what
to do
bosom is.
she wants to do something with that bosom, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
And
Wow.
then yeah, the second one, I believe the second quote is from Anne herself.
Okay, so in response, what can I say more to persuade you that I love you with more zeal than any lover? Can I love you with a love that ne'er was known by man? I have for you excess of friendship, more of love. What the hell? Than
Yeah, that
any.
punctuation's interesting.
It's like when you do like what is it? Not autocorrect, but like when you type in something to Google, just let it like keep
Oh, like
typing.
speech to text,
There you
go to
go.
autocorrect.
Yeah. It's just like making shit up. Okay. Where should I go? Okay, I love you with a love that ne'er was known by man. I have for you excess of friendship, more of love than any woman can for woman, and more love than ever than constantest lover.
Constantist, I think, maybe.
Constantest lover and for his mistress to kiss the ground when once you go to be your dog in a string, your fish in a net, your bed in a cage, your humble trout, dot, dot, dot. What the fuck?
Have you ever had a girl tell you she wanted to be your humble trout?
Oh my, is this a scandalous one? Is this the one that's like the crazy one?
No, actually, this is
Wow.
I mean, as long as they didn't cause what is called a scandal back then, you could kind of, especially women, could get under the radar with this kind of stuff. Whereas,
Oh.
as you'll see, the Duchess kind of made it a scandal.
Yeah. Man, that's some crazy shit right there. That's like a Trump tweet. Like, not by the political, context, but just so not coherent. But
The
maybe that
lack
was
of
a trick.
punctuation.
Totally. Lack of like direction. I mean, I get the gist. I definitely know that there's love there, but
Yes.
wow.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so we can see that favorite is kind of an understatement.
Oh, yeah.
She was basically obsessed with this girl, and Sarah actually she wrote in her one of her memoirs how she was amused and intrigued at how easily Anne actually got over this first favorite when she first got there. She was like, because she had, she'd heard the gossip. She knew that she'd written hundreds of letters to this girl and couldn't get over her. And then suddenly she's all, oh, Sarah.
Yeah, lesbians move fast. I hate to admit it because it's a stereotype, but it's one of the true ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, this one, apparently, even though they sent her away, they kept writing letters and
Aww.
for years and years. Yeah, they stayed pen
That's
pals.
what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you still pen pals with any of your
Well, that's another like stereotype, I think. It's like we move quickly, but we also stay very connected to like our
exes?
exes. So it's a weird conundrum,
Yeah. That love hate.
Definitely.
And it was pointed out in something that I was reading that when they wrote these letters, even though they were young women, they weren't children. Like this wasn't, how sometimes they could say puppy love or early crushes and
Sure.
stuff, but they were 18 at this point.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
and at that point back then, that was, adulthood at that point. They were fully adults at 18, not like how it is now where you're still kind of in the middle there.
Exactly. This is real. This is clearly real love, Like, I think it's beautiful, despite how fucking crazy that other chick writes. Like, I still think it's cute.
Yeah, and it's weird because I've always wondered, I mean, if it was just Anne that had done it, but her sister did it as well. So I wonder if maybe they were influencing each other because later in life, Mary, as you'll see, as we keep going, she does not like the fact that Anne has these favorites, even though she did
Oh.
when she was a child. And she kind of tells her, you need to put those like girlish thoughts behind you. So
Okay. I see that happen a lot with people that like struggle with their own sexuality. They'll try to impose that onto people that come after them with similar struggles because they just assume that they made the right decision. But
Right.
no, not always.
So maybe both sisters were lesbians?
I mean, it sounds very possible.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, the gay gene will to be determined.
There was a lot of gay jeans going around back then, if that's what it was.
Oh, I bet.
Okay, so where are we? So, during this time when they were younger, Anne and Sarah weren't together as often as Anne would have liked. Sarah got married at some point and they just weren't always together. So they would write each other a lot of letters back and forth. And in the letters, Anne proposed that they start referring to themselves as people of different names, like just taking on kind of nicknames so they wouldn't have to be so deferential, basically,
For
because
sure.
Anne was, she wasn't a queen, but she was a princess. So they had to say, my lady, and be very deferential. And Anne wanted to be complete equals in their letters to each other. So they
Nice.
started calling each other Mrs. Freeman and Mrs. Morley. And nobody knows why. It must have been some kind of inside joke or something. But
Yeah, but that's cute though.
yeah, but in their letters, they would, and for the rest of their lives, was, in their relationship, they would refer to each other as Mrs. Freeman and Mrs. Morley.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very, very cute. So, as I said, she became the favorite, and her sister Mary ends up becoming queen.
Okay.
Yep, she actually, her father, their father, was the king, and she goes against him when they invite William of Orange, who's this guy in like Denmark or somewhere. I forget which one of those countries they're. Forgive me, but they invite him to come over and basically invade and become the new king because their king is ridiculous. But
Exactly.
he's gonna marry the king's daughter, so he's still, the lineage is still gonna go where it should.
Continue.
Yeah. So Mary does this and she becomes queen. And like I said, she doesn't like the fact that Anne has this favorite, and it becomes like a huge thing between them where she constantly is like, you have to get rid of this girl, and Anne is, she is not gonna do it. So I think I have another, yeah, I think we have another quote for you to read that
Oh,
was
yeah.
something, some things that she wrote about at this point in one of her
Definitely.
letters. Yeah.
She says, "Tis not in the power of man to make me ever consent to part with you. And if I could tell how to hinder myself from writing to you every day, I would." Aww.
I know. So,
It's getting
and
real.
yeah, a lot of the time she would complain that Sarah didn't write her enough and she didn't visit enough. There was always complaints about that. So she was super into it, but Sarah was, I will say, ambivalent at best.
Okay.
She was,
Just kind of like here, but not really. Like she just like nonchalant a little.
yeah, well, I have more about that in a bit.
Okay.
So I'll explain that more in a bit. First, let's talk about so Sarah Jennings becomes Sarah Churchill when she marries John Hirsch. I can't talk today. John Churchill, who ends up becoming the first Duke of Marlborough, and she marries him in 1678. And this is important because this guy goes on to basically being the biggest military genius of like the century.
Oh,
So
wow.
yeah, so she made a good pick.
Oh, yeah.
So because she wasn't, she was the princess's favorite, but she wasn't anyone super special at that point. But now, after he becomes, this big war hero and stuff, that definitely up.
She's got some sauce now.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna take a little, what I call a scandalous sidebar for a minute from this story because there's just it's way too much scandal to even contain with this. So John Churchill and Sarah Churchill, originally John apparently wanted to take Sarah as his mistress instead of his wife, but she wasn't having any of it.
Okay.
Yeah, his original mistress was the Duchess of Cleveland, and there had been a scandal between them, and she had to leave for France basically to avoid the scandal from it. She was also the mistress of Charles II, so the king at the time. This Duchess of Cleveland lady, she's just great scandal. She was apparently infamous for her promiscuity, which the king tolerated for whatever
Okay.
reason.
Yeah.
the historian Bishop Burnet. He relates the story of King Charles catching Barbara in bed with a courtier who had to jump out of a window to escape at one point. So she was a lover of men.
Dude.
This poem, when she left for France, this poem was written about her, and it was kind of in, you know, those little pamphlets they would pass around and stuff. I'm not going to make you read this one because... You'll see. This is how the poem went. Churchill's delicate shape her dazzling eyes had struck, but her wider cunt did gape for a more substantial fuck. Now she must travel abroad and be forced to frig with the nuns, forgiving our sovereign lord so many good buttered buns.
Whoa.
The buttered buns being her bastards by Charles II.
Okay, I was wondering, is that like a buttery buttocks or say this thing, but yeah,
I think it's a euphemism probably for both.
Okay. Buttery buns. Wow, I'm gonna use that from now on and forever.
Because if you think of a vagina as, I guess, an oven that's making some buns for
them. Yeah, and they're all buttered up for some reason. Yeah. I don't understand that. Yeah, that guy, that's funny. That's really funny.
There's an ongoing theme throughout history. You'll find that people are just filthy as fuck in every
That seems to be the common denominator.
Even when you go back to like a Victorian period where they're all supposed to be like super
proper and, you know, fuck that. There's always those little rebels and I'm one of them, I suppose. But times are getting crazier, so, you know, maybe I'm normal.
Right?
Yeah, back then it was probably weirder. But yeah, that's, what a poem. Even today, that's still really... really risky.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back, a lot of the, you know, you think of like sex jokes from other periods and they're sometimes pretty bawdy but not really funny, but this one
for
I thought was pretty good. Yeah,
this one's definitely one of my favorites.
All right, and then we have another scandalous sidebar, not just about John who she married, but his sister. Arabella Churchill. I could have my own episode for her, but I'm just going to mention her right here. She was, at the time he was the Duke of York, but it's the future James II. She was his mistress.
Okay.
And the Churchills' loyalty to the royal household was so ardent that apparently their only feeling about Arabella's seduction by the king, this is quoted by one of them, seems to have been a joyless surprise that so plain a girl had attained such high preferment.
Wow.
So they were just glad that she was getting some gold, I guess.
I guess so. Damn, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah. They were ambitious people.
She has one way to put it.
So James, who was then just the Duke of York, he began his affair with Arabella in 1665 while he was already married, and then he has his mistress become his wife's lady-in-waiting.
Holy yes. Shit.
And then she gives birth to his children while serving in that capacity.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Now if someone, I'm sorry, I was gonna say, like, would it be wrong if I had a lady-in-waiting if like we were all on the same page? But yeah, it seems still pretty wrong. But a dude-in-waiting, I probably wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, if you were on the same page, but they were not on the same page. It was very awkward, but it was something that it happened. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, talk about like 90210 in the soap. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that show babysat me.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. But I mean, these scandals are even crazier than soap operas. That's why I love.
Oh, definitely. That's why I'm so glad they made that movie, because I haven't seen it, but like the idea of these stories being told on such a massive scale, that's really cool.
Right, right. And it was done very well.
Nice.
So Arabella Churchill, they described her as a tall creature, pale-faced, and nothing but skin and bone.
That's my type.
That was not the type back then. Back then they wanted women to be very plump and stuff, so nobody really understood why he liked her, except that she was apparently very witty and had lively intelligence. So I mean, and she apparently he stayed with her through 10 years and 4 children.
Holy shit.
which was quite a lot back then, because with the high, infant mortality rates and stuff, to have your mistress around long enough basically to have four children for you was, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, like, that means they probably had a couple of, trial and error situations there.
Yep,
Like, if four of them made it,
yep. She basically
that's
was probably
intense.
pregnant every year. That's,
Yeah. Wow.
yep. I mean, through 10 years, yeah, and then she's serving his wife at the same time.
Damn. Oh my God. This is crazy. This is like Real Housewives or Real Mistresses of, like, I don't know,
Yes,
the
it
Renaissance. I don't even know what era this really is.
is. So I probably should have mentioned that part. We are in the late 17th, early 18th century in here. So,
Okay.
yep, it's a little bit after and during the reign of like Louis the Sun King.
Oh, got it, got it.
Massacre at Jamestown was happening.
Yeah, that one. Classic.
So, yep. So okay, so let's now we can get back to the to Anne and Sarah, but I really loved those stories about Churchill and so much with him.
Yeah.
And
I like your scandalous sidebars. I can't wait
thank
until you
you.
get a little jingle for that going.
I definitely should. And the thing with it never really, sorry, I don't know what I'm saying here. The scandal of him being with this woman and of his sister being the mistress of the king or the future king never really left him. It was always kind of a stain on his reputation where people would say, oh, it's because of women that you got powerful. And then once his
Oh my
wife
God.
becomes the favorite of the queen, they're like, oh, it's even more women getting you powerful.
They just hate women, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he becomes this like war general, and that's the way that they can kind of talk shit is just to say,
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
power because of the women, which
I mean, I guess, yeah.
I mean, he definitely, I'm not going to say he wasn't a, talented general and everything, but he probably wouldn't have been selected to become the person he was in the ranks
If
and
it
everything
weren't
if it
for them.
the influence and stuff. So
Yeah, well, that's true then.
women's influence mattered, even though, not as directly as.
Yeah, I thought they were probably like, because I hear something that it's not the same in this case, but when people claim that someone is successful because they're a woman, that's kind of where my head went. But this is a dude, they're just giving
Right.
credit where credit's due.
Right. And he did
Okay.
not like that.
Oh, so he's the asshole in this
Yeah.
case. Nice.
Basically,
Okay.
and his wife didn't either because at the time it was seen as demasculating. And she wanted
Ah.
him to see, she wanted his reputation. So when she had his memoirs written, she basically told the person writing it, I don't want you to talk about much that happened before our marriage because he had a lot of scandalous affairs and she didn't want any of that to be remembered as part of his reputation. So,
Wow, so fake. I mean, I get it. I get it, but fake as fuck.
and we found out anyway.
I'm glad. I love this.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. If you want, we can look at some pictures now. I forgot we were supposed to be looking at these as we went, but
Oh, for
either way,
sure.
it works now. So the first picture is of just a play staging of the favorite. And in this picture, so in the movie, they have Sarah as this, who's a great actress, but she's very dark haired. And I think they did that for like a thematic thing to make her look different than the other characters and to make her seem more like evil and dark, maybe.
Right.
Because the picture in here where she's, the blonde lady, this looks a lot more like what Sarah actually looked like. She was, very blonde, like she
Oh.
had blue eyes. And if you scroll down, there's another picture of her here. And I
Yeah.
will have this on Instagram so anyone listening can follow along if they want and look at
She's
these
wearing the same
images.
dress, yeah, in the painting as they are in the play. It's really nice.
Oh yeah, I didn't even notice that. That's a good catch. Yeah, they often costumers will take inspiration from, ones that
Painting,
they.
that's what's up. Yeah, I dig it.
And the next picture after that is Arabella Churchill, the one that was everyone's mistress.
Okay. She's got the pearls, big boobies. That's distinctive.
Yeah,
I
that was
hate
big.
to sexualize her, but I guess we're on the
Yep, for sure.
topic.
Do you like your curls?
Yeah, her curls are nice. I can definitely see, the appeal there.
If you scroll down, there is a picture of Queen Anne when she was fairly young, when she was still a princess. So, She's kind of described as being not that great looking, but I don't know if it's just the painter in this situation, but I think she's, you know,
I
I think
think
she's,
she's cute.
yeah, I
Yeah,
think she's
look at the little
pretty.
puppy. The puppy at her feet is really cute
I
too.
know, yeah. That was a sign of being rich that you could afford to have one of those breeds. That was actually the spaniel, the Charles Spaniel, which was brought in by one of her uncles or great
Damn,
uncles, one of the
that's
two.
incredible. And it always
And
blows my mind that like these are paintings because like this is the closest thing they had to a photograph, right? So it's like this is
yes.
legit. This is how they want it to be seen, you know?
And it honestly, it fascinates me that all we can see is depictions of them, how they wanted to be seen. I'm so curious, like, how realistic these were.
Exactly. Think about
So,
Instagram and how fake Instagram is. Like, this is
exactly.
their Instagram.
Exactly. They're using their Insta filters, basically.
Yes, all filters. Hashtag blessed.
For art history nerds out there, we can tell in this picture that she's still a princess because she's wearing the royal ermine, which is that like white stuff on her. It's a cloak, but they called it a mantle.
Okay.
That thing she has around her, basically. The whole reason she has that wrapped around her is because only royalty could wear that ermine,
Oh,
which is
I
the white
see.
stuff with the little dots, you know, that you see on every basically like cloak that the king has on or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's how we know she's a princess in that picture for, like I said, the
Mm-hmm.
art historians. Okay, so let's get back to the story. So, okay, this is the second part of the story where she becomes queen.
Okay.
So, in 1702, King William III died, and Anne
Bummer.
becomes the queen. As soon as she becomes queen, the first thing she does is to give John her Churchill a dukedom. And she makes Sarah, are you ready for this?
Yes.
She's the mistress of the robes, which was the highest office in the royal court that could be held by a woman, the groom of the stool, the keeper of the privy purse, and the ranger of Windsor Great Park.
Wow.
And then the Duke accepted the Order of the Garter as well as the office of Captain General of the Army. So
Dude.
they make a super powerful threesome at this point where, like, she has her favorite, and then her favorite has this husband who she's gonna have be her military hero. So yeah, they've got this figured out. And then if you look, the next picture down is a picture of Anne as she's getting older when she becomes queen.
Okay.
And you can see the difference between these is that she's got her ermine cloak, her mantle now, but now it's purple. It's purple velvet,
Right.
and we can tell she's queen now because only royalty is allowed to wear purple.
Oh, that's right, 'cause it's so hard to get that guy, right?
Yep,
Yeah.
it's super expensive, and they have laws about that. And then she's also wearing it looks like what they used to have was a something called cloth of gold, which no one really makes anymore because it's literally made out of gold. But that is, I presume that is what she's wearing in this painting, is a
That's
full dress.
incredible.
Yeah, it,
Yeah, golden
yeah.
dress.
And you see she's got her crown and those two little thingies that they totally isn't pagan. her wand and, you know, that kind of stuff. But
Yeah, she's all decked out.
I find it interesting in this one and a few of the other portraits of her early queen days, though, that she's not wearing the crown in all of them. It's kind of sitting next to her.
Exactly. That's a really interesting point.
So I think in her early reign, it was kind of unstable and unsure, and she didn't want to seem like she was overly power hungry and stuff. So I think that maybe was what that was a symbol of.
Damn. Well, he's not wearing it either, right?
Yep. So in the second picture, she eventually ends up marrying the Prince of Denmark, and he comes over and he is her husband. So he's not a king, he stays the prince, and then she
Okay.
is the queen.
Interesting. I didn't know that was possible.
Yep, that's how all of the queens have been. Even the
Damn.
queen now, yep, she's married to a prince, not to a king.
Whoa, that's right, because you never hear about a king. You always hear about the princes. Holy shit. I don't understand that. I love it, but I don't understand.
Yeah, because if they were to become king, then legally they will have the same power as the queen.
And
Whereas
she doesn't
they,
want that?
well, She's the queen hereditarily, not him. He's just her consort.
Okay, so it's just a matter of respect and, you know,
Yep, and
seniority to it. Yeah, things like that.
basically.
Okay,
And they
and
wouldn't.
so
Sorry, go ahead.
there's only a king in the in situations where he's like the blood king, like he's like
Yes.
the oh shit, I
Yep.
never knew that.
So, except for her sister, because she invited that guy over and he came and conquered, he became king and she
Oh.
was queen. They had a that was a separate, a rare occurrence where they had equal power, but beyond that,
Okay.
yeah,
It's
all of the
usually
queens.
not that case. Yeah.
And
So
this is
cool.
why Queen Elizabeth ended up never getting married, because she wanted to retain her power. She didn't want, and she couldn't figure out which prince she could pick that would politically be
Like, okay with
least.
that?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted her to pick one. They wanted her
That
to pick
is
one, but they didn't want her to. So it was.
exactly. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so she's the queen at this point, but you see they have him standing and her sitting, so it's almost like they're showing that they're okay with her being queen, but she's still a woman, so he's still the head of the marriage.
Yeah, he's got a lot of hair.
That is definitely a wig.
Damn.
Yep. This is the period of Louis, the Sun King. He began balding early and he had always had these big, rich curls. So he began wearing wigs and they just got bigger and bigger over time. And since he was wearing them, everyone was wearing them.
Oh my God, they made it like they made fetch happen, you know? Or
They
like
they
when
way made
Regina,
fetch.
yeah, they cut her little boobs off her shirt and then everybody started. That's kind of what this, it makes no sense, but they just kept doing
Exactly.
it.
Except that this is really expensive too, because the wigs are made out of a lot of time human hair, and they have to be cleaned and powdered, and you have to have a new wig every
Crazy.
season. So it's something that only rich people can do.
Yeah, this wig is clearly like last season, I can tell.
Right. So the bigger it is, the more expensive it is, and that was really what it was about back then.
Well, Lady Gaga seemed to have brought it back. She's
Right.
readapted that. Yeah, the
That.
bigger the better.
And you'll see too in this picture that she's wearing the purple and he's only wearing red because he's a prince, but he's not a king, so he can't wear the purple.
Interesting, yeah.
Yep. And that's also a political thing because he's the Prince of Denmark. They don't want this guy from Denmark to come over and suddenly be the King of England, right?
That'd be crazy, yeah.
They want the queen. So that is what happens. And then whoever there, if she had a baby boy, then he would be the next king. It's always, they always go for the boys first, but if there are no boys left, then
You're
they go
fucking
for the girl.
patriarchy. Jesus Christ.
For real. And then I think we can scroll down maybe one more. There was one other thing I wanted to show you here. There's another one of Queen Anne. Oh, part of the reason I wanted to show you these was you'll notice that she's sitting in all of these portraits.
Yeah.
So, by the time these portraits were done later in her life, she had, I believe it was 17 pregnancies.
Whew.
And though some of them survived infanthood and stuff, none of them ended up actually surviving to adulthood.
Damn.
So she was a very lonely woman.
Aww.
And yeah, I know it's a really sad story, honestly, because of all of her, miscarriages. Most of them were miscarriages and things like that. And she had always been a little bit heavier, and then she began eating as an emotional thing. There's a scene in The Favourite where she basically gouges herself and then sits there in front of a servant and purges and then begins eating again, stuff herself
Oh
again
my
immediately.
God.
And you would think this is me. Sorry, go ahead.
Was gonna say, just for the comfort. She's purely just doing it for the comfort at that
Yes.
point.
Yeah, yes.
Damn.
Yeah. And she would apparently, it seems dramatized for the movie, but I can't remember where I read it, but I'm pretty sure I've read in one of her own diaries, she like writes the fact that she does this, that it's something that she's just
Damn.
trying to fill herself, fill that hole.
Yeah. That is so sad.
So by this point she's getting pretty obese and she can't stand. So they get her a wheelchair and she starts using a wheelchair. And at one point, she had some crutches that she could kind of get up on and walk a little bit. But for most of her rule, she was an invalid. She, you know, was in the chair and stuff. And they don't really, in the movie, they show this a bit, but she, it was a lot worse off than
Damn.
they say. So that is why a lot of historians don't think that they really could have had much of a sexual relationship.
Oh my God.
Because, well, I mean,
I mean, it would make total medical sense.
yeah, that especially
It's
after
just,
having 17 miscarriages.
yeah, but lesbian sex, you know, you could be sensual. You can do a little like diddling. You don't have to get crazy, you know, like you
Exactly.
could do it in a wheelchair. I don't know why they're tripping like that, but I get it. I get it.
Well, it wouldn't. I know. No, it's not. I know. That's not what I was trying to say at all. I feel bad now that
Okay. No, you're
no.
fine.
There,
I was
but
blaming the historians, not you.
right. Back then, for just the way everything was, that she always had servants around her and everything, that especially being an invalid, it would have been very difficult for her to have physical relationships without
Totally.
anyone knowing about it, because it just would have been more difficult.
Yeah. It'd be crazy if it was all an act so that like dudes wouldn't try to fuck her, but as soon as she's alone with a girl, she like hops out of the wheelchair. That's my fantasy. Yeah, that she was okay the whole time, but I doubt it. I'm sure she wouldn't lie about
Oh
that.
God, no.
I'm sorry, that's so not PC. You can cut that out if you
No,
want.
this is not a PC podcast. We are fine.
Okay, great.
Okay, so where was I? Let's see. And oh right, okay, we're still going with this. This is, I was showing you the picture why she was sitting. So I think she's sitting in most of these pictures because she couldn't stand. And they didn't really want anyone to know that per se.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
Interesting.
she just looks regal. And as you keep going down, you see she doesn't have a crown. And then finally, you'll see that the crown's kind of floating above her head.
On a frame. Yeah.
So we almost got it on her head. And then finally, toward, you know, middle, older age, we finally see the crown on her head now that her
Yeah.
reign is
She
more secure.
she overcame imposter syndrome by the last picture.
Yep. She's got her wand is bigger, so.
Yeah.
And she's got
That's
more
what's
bling.
up. I like
Yes.
that emotional character arc there. That's like Breaking Bad. I dig that.
And also, I'm wondering in this last picture, because she appears to be standing in it, she looks awkward as fuck. Is it just me?
No, you're totally right. And I thought it was just because everyone looked awkward back then, but I don't know. Maybe
She's
she
actually,
had
I
something
think
going
she's
on.
awkward in this personally, and I think it might be because she wasn't standing.
Oh, and then trying to make it seem like she was,
They
maybe.
kind of photoshopped
The original Photoshop.
her. It looks like she was sitting, and that's why her chin is a little like down, and it's just not the right angle. It's,
Exactly.
and then they
Unless
just
she
put a
had, like,
body on her.
If her chin was like that the whole time, you know, I can understand how like the eating maybe made that happen. But yeah, honestly, it would make a lot of sense that she was sitting down. That's what's really going on there.
Yeah, so.
I would have never caught on to that.
I know, this is why art history is interesting to me, because it's not just looking at, you know, pictures of old people. It's there's so much symbology in it. They're
That's what's up.
saying so much with every little thing in it. All right, so we're gonna go take a smoke break.
Yes.
All right. So we're recording again. We are back from our smoke break. I really like to get high and talk about history, so I am
That's the best way to
encouraging
do it.
I'm encouraging my guests to do the same if they'd like. Yeah, basically I get high, I just don't shut up, so that's why I made a podcast about this. Okay, so where were we? I guess Anne became the queen. So now you're the favorite of this like semi-famous person, right? Like you're in their entourage, you're their bae, whatever. Then suddenly, like something happens, they go viral, and suddenly it's like they are Beyoncé.
Wow.
And you are their obsession.
Yeah, that's what this is like.
Right, but they're not just Beyoncé, they're the president too.
Fuck. If Beyonce were president and she had a mistress, I would want that mistress to be me.
So this is what Sarah Churchill is, except
Okay.
Except Queen Anne was maybe not as exciting as like Beyoncé. But I mean, who's to say? Sarah has given her a reputation of being quite dull, but for all we know, Sarah was just a bitch. Like, straight up. So.
It's very likely.
She said in her letter she sounds like kind of, but I mean there are both men and women who love having someone be a bitch to them, like that really turns them on. So I'm wondering through this whole thing, like Anne complains that she's not loving and attentive to her and stuff, but like did she really want someone like that, or is she really like the bad girl who's gonna challenge her?
Damn, yeah, I have that problem too. It's hard to say. I wonder.
So this is what happens. She becomes, not only is she the favorite, she gives her every high position that exists. She buys her and gives her this like giant estate of her own. Not so back then,
Wow.
yeah, a woman, if she owned something, she didn't really own it. Her husband did, right? So when she married him, all of her shit
Exactly.
becomes his. She gives her this as her house. So it's not her husband's, it's outright. She has this entire estate just for her. And this is where she goes and she lives most of the time. Because, so she wasn't, in the movie, they show her as being at court with Queen Anne, She wasn't there really as often as they imply, and it's because it would be a really boring movie if they were just writing letters to each other back and forth. But that's basically what the relationship was a lot of the time. Yeah, it's just a lot of Anne declaring her love and begging Sarah to be with her more, and Sarah saying, "Oh, but I have my duties. I have, everything." And during this whole time, the Duke of Marlborough, her husband, is out being a general. There's the War of the Spanish Succession going on. That's been going on for quite a while. It's a war. I'm sure you know all about the War of Spanish Succession. It's a very famous.
Yeah, I learned about it in school, and that's the last time I really thought about it.
I'm trying to remember which one it is, even though it says Spanish. I know it was had to do with Austria too. They were. I think it was about. It was about the Austrian succession because it was the.
Remember the Alamo? I'm kidding.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Basically, yeah.
they call it
The
the.
Austrian cowboys came in.
Oh, no, wait. I'm thinking of a different succession. This one was. Okay. This is the king of Spain died because he was this, like. Oh, man. I want to talk about the problems with inbreeding. He was a problem with inbreeding and he ended up, just not. And great king and then dying, and then there was a success. I hate this word, succession. Just a war to find out who was going to be next, and King Louis, his son, was going to be the next emperor of the world and stuff. So that's a whole other story. So basically that's going on, and her husband is over there fighting that, just being like the ultimate duke or the ultimate general, the ultimate duke. He was definitely the ultimate duke. But so she's in England all the time.
General Duke.
Okay, so at this point, Sarah's basically the most powerful woman in England and the world, if you want to think about it. because Anne basically wouldn't do anything without her.
Damn, dude. That's some. You ever seen the show Scandal
Yes, I
on
have. I've actually.
television? Yeah, this makes me think of that a little bit.
Does it? I was worried that
Yeah,
people
the whole mistress.
would relate the two, but yeah, I mean, it does. It does. There's a lot of,
Oh, but not in a bad way.
yeah. No, I get
It's
what you're saying.
like a tale, of told many times. Like this idea is that these scandals are actually they come up in many different eras, but they're very similar and very relatable to a
Yeah.
lot of storylines. And that's the beautiful part is all the connections, Like you
Exactly.
could, yeah. You're still doing your own podcast, but yeah, the idea of the reason that show is so successful, I think, is because people are attracted to the idea of scandals, which is why your podcast, I think, is successful.
Thank you.
That nicheness is what people want.
Yeah. And that is that is what interests people. That's what interests me anyway. So, and I know it must interest other people or reality TV wouldn't exist. So, and just
Exactly.
it's always, like you said, occurred to me that this shit is way better than anything on reality TV, and it actually happened. Like
Yes, that's the best part.
it's so, I think I have some more quotes for you relating her, but I'm just going to explain right now just a little bit more about how much power Sarah had. Because not only did she
Okay.
give her all this power, but then, let's see, I have some quotes here. It says, Anne sent her news of political developments in letters, and they consulted about a lot of basically anything political the queen did. She sought Sarah's advice. She was like her main advisor. She was effectively the business manager of her entire household. So she was like an executive assistant and her
Fuck.
business manager. But she didn't even live there. So she's doing this from like a distance as well.
Right.
So she had power over from her finances to the people that were even admitted to the royal presence. So, like, if you wanted to see the queen and Sarah Churchill didn't like you, good fucking luck.
I love that.
Yeah, because that's how politics worked back
Something
then.
about that is, I know it's not right, but I'm rooting for them as a lesbian couple more than as like a citizen. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have been a citizen in their place, but for the sake of democracy, the relationship was toxic. But the romance is just, I don't know, something about it is so enticing.
So I'm not sure if it was toxic. I've thought about that honestly, because that's how they portray it in a lot of the films and things like that. But when you read more of the history, and I mean, she obviously has dramatized it so much in her own writings because she was just a drama queen, and
Totally.
she, you'll see later, she had reasons to do that. So like,
She was literally a drama queen.
yes, almost literally, yes. She became a duchess, which is the next step down from princess. So yeah, almost literally.
Oh, wow. So
Yeah,
that's insane.
yeah. So if you want to go for the next quote, that kind of explains her power. This is something that
Totally.
Anne wrote to Sarah.
So Anne said, "If the whole castle was mine, I would not dispose of any of it till I knew what you had most mind to, and I had rather live in a cottage with you than reign empress of the world without you." Aw, these
Yeah,
they
so
always win me over.
so like I said, this is, it's more than love even, it's like obsession. Like she is letting this woman just run her life.
For sure. Yeah, super relatable though. I always end up in that cycle. Like
Yeah.
if I were the queen of anything, this would be my life for sure.
But you wonder, like she was never really expecting to become queen, so her whole life she hadn't been prepared for this, and then suddenly this kind of meek woman becomes the most powerful person in the world almost. And what does she do? She has
Yeah,
this favorite
she adjusts,
that,
man. She adjusts it
yeah,
well.
she found a good person to manage her, at least. I mean, for a while until
Exactly. Smart. Yeah, she knew that she needed someone in her life that could play that role for her, and it was shaky, but I think it was in a weird way, it was good for her. It was what she needed,
Yeah.
it
Because
was crazy.
she had a husband, but Prince George wasn't really there per se.
He was out, yeah, doing his shit, and stuff. I just think, yeah, I think there's a lot of women and men that are in relationships that they're kind of just in for the sake of security, but
It was
the
definitely a
real
political
passion,
marriage. It wasn't, they weren't
for
in
sure.
love at all. And
Yeah, and then what about the other couple?
It was actually rumored that Anne's husband was either bisexual or gay, and he had his own favorites that were men. So it's like they had their own little separate, like, gay love lives. And it
I'm sensing
almost,
a sequel.
yeah, but but at the same time, they also had 17 pregnancies, so like they were still getting it done. So
They were
who
fucking,
knows?
but I don't know how happy they were about it.
Yeah. So
Yeah, going through the motions.
you're probably wondering, like, as we're talking about, why did she like this woman if she was like so domineering, and so it helped that she was really beautiful, like in that first portrait you saw, and I mentioned before she was like the epitome of their beauty standards of the day. She was a
standard.
Just beautiful, gorgeous. There's independent verification of her popularity and also of her beauty. One of her friends, Mary Fortrey, apparently imagined her as a kind of proto-media celebrity. She was like radiant and unattainable. So kind of like a Beyonce, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that.
So she was this like, I don't know, that's kind of part of what made her attractive, I guess, was her unattainability and coldness. Excuse me, having a sip because, oh my gosh, I just smoked a bowl and that just racked my throat.
Yeah, same. But I got my little soda with me.
That's good. Good. All right. Good refreshments. All right.
Definitely. History, so, weed, and refreshments. That's like your slogan.
That's what I should have called this, Sam. Okay, so as I was supposed to do this before, but so this is Sarah, how powerful she was. I'm just going to read part of this. Largely through her own efforts and investments, she became the richest woman in England. Not, you know, richer than, and probably
for sure.
the Western world with over
Damn.
1 million. With over 1 million pounds, which is roughly equivalent to 82 million today. She oversaw the building of Blenheim Palace and Marlborough House. Blenheim Palace is, which that was her own estate that the Queen gave her. It wasn't just an estate, it was a palace that she had built
Holy
for her.
Shit.
And she had Marlborough House, which was her husband's estate. And she became the sole owner of 26 other estates as well.
Oh my gosh.
And this, like I said, not in her husband's name, in her own name. So this was unprecedented back then that anyone but a queen would own that much property. So you can see how even that itself is kind of scandalous.
Definitely.
Especially with how misogynistic the culture was back then. And it says here that she held a controlling interest in the national debt, and the fate of the Bank of England lay in her hands on more than one occasion.
Okay.
So this lady was powerful.
Definitely.
And though a lot of people believed that her rise in favor was due to ambition, Sarah denied this. She said in one of her letters, "I do solemnly protest that if were in my power, I would not be a favorite, which few will believe. I fancy anybody that had been shut up so many tedious hours as I had been with a person that had no conversation and yet must be treated with respect would feel something of what I did." So, I mean, if you think about it, she may have loved this woman. She maybe just not have been a lesbian and not been, you know, into her like that. But she still wanted to be, you know, she was a good friend and she was, you know, managed her life for her, basically.
Yeah. Damn. They had like something there, something special, like a connection for sure.
Yeah. But she didn't find the queen all that interesting, like stimulating intellectually, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that.
So she says, in the 1711 version of her memoir, she wrote, "I confess it was not so very agreeable to my temper, that was always cheerful, to be so much with her as she desired me to be. Her conversation was not so entertaining, but she loved me to a passion and often said it was a constant joy to her to see me, and as constant an uneasiness to let me go from her. We were for many hours shut up together daily, and when I made my escapes and was with other company, she said she envied them and desired to possess me wholly."
Wow.
That was when she was younger, before she had the freedom to go over to her own houses and stuff. But, I mean, that's kind of an overwhelming thing.
Definitely.
To ask of someone. And, so there were a lot of differences between the two. And like all favorites, of course, Sarah has a downfall, which is always the best part of the story, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, the plot twist.
Western culture loves raising up a celebrity and loving them and then watching them just crash and burn. So this one was, it wasn't sudden, it was long. It took, there are, I could literally have a whole podcast just telling you all the different like squabbles between them and drama and shit that went on. But basically, they were just different people. They wanted different things. She wanted this woman to be, you know, in love with her and always be with her. Sarah wanted to live her own life. Oh, geez, like, how dare she? So that's basically the end-ish of the story. She has a downfall because they're not compatible, and she basically exiles her. So she has to go to France, and it's a whole, you know, thing. But then after Anne dies, the Duke of Marlborough was actually very good friends because he had fought in the Spanish War with the next king that became king. So they went back over to England and became the favorites of the next monarch. So they did pretty well for themselves after Anne passed. So that's that story. But so now what I really want to talk about is their actual relationship and just lesbianism in general back then and what their relationship was. Like whether it was sexual, whether it was lesbianism, or whether it was something that back then they had a term, what we call it was, well, instead of saying that, I'll just go to this quote that kind of explains it better. There's a book called The Favorite that is the movie is based on. It's written by Ophelia Field. She kind of sums up this better than I ever could because obviously she's like an expert in this. So I'm just going to tell you what she said. In the book, she says, before asking whether Anne had latent lesbian feelings for Sarah, however, we need to acknowledge the extent to which, at the beginning of the 21st century, we denigrate friendship. To understand the relationship between Anne and Sarah, one needs to perform a mental shift and listen to Jonathan Swift when he wrote, "Believe me that violent friendship is much more lasting and as much engaging as violent love." In short, an understanding of friendship as something encompassing what we would nowadays class as romantic or erotic feeling is required. There was, it seems, a female equivalent to the 18th century phenomenon, which has sometimes been labeled sentimental sodomy. And even if they were somewhat in denial about their own sexuality, these women must have enjoyed and understood the frisson involved in casting their relationships in erotic language.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So, because at this point, the concept of lesbianism, it doesn't really exist as an identity, right? So women could have lesbian affairs and they could have the preference, but there wasn't really an idea of someone being a lesbian. Does that make sense? So we can't actually say, even if we believe that she did have sexual and romantic feelings for her, we can't even say that she was a lesbian because they didn't have the concept didn't exist at the time.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So there's a it's an interesting another quote from her book. She says, Sarah's adult life coincided with the growth of a distinct male homosexual subculture in London. Female homosexuality, on the other hand, continued to be regarded as an action rather than an identity, hardly even a vice. In a book called Plain Reasons for the Growth of Sodomy in England in 1928, wow, must have been a bestseller, it was called The Game of Flats and identified as a new fashion among the women of quality. Something naughty but not legally punishable, like sodomy, which was punishable by being burnt alive, apparently. So they also believed that lesbianism wasn't natural and that it only happened when women were like closed up together, but I
Yeah,
don't.
they sound like dicks.
So it's hard to say whether she really loved her and whether they were had a sexual relationship or not, because later on during the drama of her downfall, Sarah kind of accused the queen of having a lesbian relationship with her new favorite and said that it was a sin that shouldn't be she mentioned it in some way that made it sound like it was like a disgusting act to her that she wouldn't have ever done. So it makes me wonder, and this was their private letters, so it makes me wonder if anything physical ever did happen between them, or whether it was just this lady who was just obsessed with her and just wrote a lot of letters and stuff. And either way, what if that was lesbianism, or if it was a woman who was very lonely and didn't have any other male companions in her life that were interested in her sentimentally. I mean, she had her husband, but that, like we said, it was a political marriage, so it wasn't. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think they could be gay, but I see what you're saying. I think when there's no word for it at the time, it's like, well, how could it exist? But I do think they were gay on a spectrum, at least.
I agree. I think she definitely, especially because it wasn't, she kept having favorites that were women when, other queens had
Exactly. Yeah.
male favorites. Like Elizabeth, she was known for her male favorites. So, I mean, it was definitely a trend. So,
Right.
guess we can just end it here because I know you have to get going.
Yeah, I gotta work on my hot notes and then head over. But this is fun. I'm glad we did it finally.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad. Yeah, thank you for being here.
No
I know, like,
worries.
you're super busy and stuff, and like, I'm just so excited. Like, do you want to like tell anyone about like where to find you or things that you're doing or anything like that if anyone actually listens to this?
Sure. Yeah. No. Of course they will.
Oh.
Yeah. They can just check out, Mueller She Wrote if they haven't already on most platforms where you get podcasts and the Rachel Maddow Show. It's Rachel as in, RACIAL. So a little pun. Can check that out. I post that sometimes, and also just my Twitter is Tweet Jaleesa, JALEESA, and then Rachel Maddow is my Instagram. So. Just, find me on the interwebs. I'm mostly at home, but don't find me at home, please.
And if anyone wants to find us, I'm gonna have social media and all the places. It's just gonna be called Scandalous. So if you Google Scandalous History Podcast, you will probably find us. And if you want to suggest like any future guests you'd like to hear, you can like try to tag them and see if we can like get them to come talk to me about history, maybe. Yeah, and I'm gonna try to make this weekly, but it's probably more gonna be monthly for now. I don't know. If people love it, maybe I'll try to do it. But for now, we're probably gonna be monthly. But
Yeah,
anyway,
they'll listen when they listen. It's all good.
well, again, thank you for being here, and I hope you enjoyed the history, the
Yes, thanks for
scandal.
having me. This was so much fun.